No matter where you are, winter always feels slow to leave. But along the southwest coast of Alaska, it's the arrival of the beluga, or white whale, that signals the hope of a real change in season. Big rivers like the Naknek, choked with silt and melting ice, are prime habitat for belugas, who navigate the turbid waters and find food by using a natural form of sonar called echolocation. But as a scientist interested in whale acoustics recently learned, finding the belugas is not so simple. Fortunately, marine biologist Kathy Turco was able to enlist the aid of someone who has not only an understanding of the river, but also a knowledge of the ecosystem acquired through a lifetime of learning. Smiley Knutson lives on the shores of Bristol Bay in western Alaska and is not a scientist, as we define one, but, as Kathy Turco reports, a definition won't find you a beluga whale.
But did you see the beluga?
I think I saw that white. It was really big and white.
Yeah.
How many do you think were in that group?
Oh, I only saw about three. He's back there. See, they're staying in that same spot.
The Naknek River is one of the most important habitats in Bristol Bay and home for one of the world's largest fisheries. Born to Aleut and Norwegian parents, Smiley Knutson says it's in his blood to spend summers fishing for herring, salmon, and halibut. At the mouth of the Naknek, in the Leader Creek boatyard, I found him working on his 30-foot fishing boat, getting ready for the first herring run. When Knutson's not at work during the brief fishing season, he works for the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service at the Alaska Peninsula Basharoff National Wildlife Refuge. His job is simple, but huge. Knutson keeps track of everything, the animals, the fish, the waterfowl, and the people's use of them.
Under here? This is usually not here for
containers. I have the title of Refuge Information Technician. And I was hired primarily because the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service took over management of subsistence hunting, fishing, and trapping on public lands in Alaska. Initially, too, when I applied for the job, I thought that we would be making a difference in having what the people wanted presented to the Fish and Wildlife Service, and it has turned out, and it has worked well that way, so they do listen.
Although he's had no university training, to me, Knutson seems every bit a scientist. Generations of Aleuts in Alaska and Norwegians in the wilds of northern Europe have relied on the sea for food. Such dependence has a way of making a person sharply tuned to nature. Fishing isn't just a way of life. Fishing is life.
We're about 2 miles below Paul's Creek. And Paul's Creek, by the way, is named after my grandpappy, Paul Chacon.
Knutson has run us out on the Naknek in his skiff to look for whales. It's snowing, but he effortlessly swerves the boat in the mud-choked water while dodging chunks of ice and hidden sandbars. He stops the boat at the next bend in the river. In the distance, we see the white backs breaking the muddy surface. There are a lot of whales here, but it's not exactly obvious what they are doing.
There's so much food for them that they're just dispersed and not in one large school or pod. They're feeding and just taking care of business.
And so the belugas are eating smelt?
Yeah.
That's what they go after?
Yeah, they're eating the smelt and the smolt, both. Yeah, doesn't matter to them as long as it's fish.
Belugas use bird-like high-pitched sounds to locate fish. Their oversized round forehead contains an organ called a melon, which works to accurately direct the sound waves produced by their blowhole. To us, it sounds like this. Once these sounds hit an object, they echo back to the whale's jaw, which acts like a microphone. When searching for fish, belugas can hear the size, shape, and even type of fish. Scientists call it echolocation and say it's one of the best ways to locate prey in low-visibility water. In the very murky Naknek, I expect the whales to be echolocating like crazy in search of a meal. After a few minutes, Knutson nods at me, and I lower my underwater microphone over the bow. I heard nothing. At least nothing but a few quiet clicks and a strange tapping sound, which I thought was an electrical problem in my recording equipment. Knutson assured me that the whales knew we were here. For the next 3 days, he gladly took me out on the river in hopes of recording the whales, but I still recorded nothing, or so I thought. Frustrated, I returned home. It wasn't until later, when I listened to the tape again, that I heard sounds. Sounds that, for a lack of a better word, call whispering. It dawned on me then that I had spent most of my time with Knutson focusing more on what I was missing instead of what I was getting. And it's not an uncommon error among researchers of all disciplines. Knutson's observations that the whales were taking care of business was right on the money.
I'm just fascinated with every thing about nature. It's too bad that I've learned late in life about this intrigue that I have for all the fish and wildlife and just their habits. I wish I could have studied it more when I was younger and been more involved and maybe be a scientist like you.
For the Alaska Public Radio Network in Bristol Bay, a slightly better scientist, this is Kathy Turco.